It's Monday. That means we need to turn our attention to our media critic, Dick Weiss, longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 30 years, 20 years with the Metro section. He now has his own website, WeissWrite.com, WeissWrite.com. Joins us from an undisclosed location. You're on assignment, aren't you, Dick?
Well, I am in Colorado Springs and right in the shadow of NORAD, which is the federal facility that tracks incoming missiles and will send them out in case of nuclear war.
NORAD is also the place where, in all those movies, everyone goes to, everyone tries to get to in those nuclear movies.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm right there. But actually, I'm on assignment taking my daughter to Colorado College. She's looking at that school as a possible place to land for her collegiate career.
That's a lovely school and a great hockey program, too.
Yeah.
All right. So last week, the story breaks that Scott McClellan, former spokesman for the White House, is coming out with a book in which he basically says that he lied to the press and that President Bush, Cheney, Rove, Scooter Libby, and Andy Card all knew about the Valerie Plame leak and sent me out there to give people a different idea of what happened. Why isn't this a bigger story?
Well, you know, it was a big story. I think on cable news, they were all over it for a day or two. But I went looking on the New York Times website and the Washington Post website, thinking that they would be all over it as well. But I found very little. The New York Times ran an Associated Press story in the early going. They had something on a blog, but I was looking for that keen analysis from the White House correspondent. I didn't find it. Maybe it's there, and I just didn't see it. The only thing that I can think of is that McClellan came out with a blurb from the book, a very enticing one. He did not speak after that, and so maybe the New York Times, the Washington Post simply didn't want to go with speculation, as the cable news always likes to do. They'll bring on lots of people to speculate
right.
on a little piece of information without having any more than that. So maybe they're waiting, holding their fire.
Now, the book isn't coming out until sometime mid-next year. It isn't like
right.
it's coming out January 1.
We may have to wait. I have a feeling that some reporters are on it and are maybe developing some information, just don't have enough yet to go with. But we are left with this enticing little nugget, which may indicate that a cover-up of some sort goes all the way to the top. But for now, we just have a little soundbite.
What I didn't understand is why they would release the blurb now, and the book, I think the book's coming out in April. I mean, that's a good four or five months away.
Yeah, maybe there are more blurbs to come. They're just trying to keep the public's attention on it and getting them whetting their appetite.
Yeah, another story we talked about last week, you have some more information on, and that's the strangely bizarre story of Sandra Day O'Connor admitting that her husband, who is suffering from Alzheimer's, has forgotten that he's married to her and has taken up a relationship with another Alzheimer's patient.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I was on the Pointer website, Pointer Institute for Media Studies. They do a lot of interviews with journalists, and the reporter who came up with that story is a Phoenix television reporter by the name of Veronica Sanchez, and she fell into that story. She was just in touch with a nursing home, and she knew about this situation involving Alzheimer's patients where they sometimes transfer their affections to another patient and away from their spouses. And she was looking for that sort of generic story and started with one nursing home and really couldn't get anywhere with it, was just about to give up. And then somebody put her in touch with another one and said, well, there are two families that are willing to share some information about this story. But only the son will talk to you. And she said, Veronica said, well, I want to talk to the spouse. And they went back to the spouse, and it turned out that one of the spouses was Sandra Day O'Connor. And Sanchez said, quote, I dropped the phone. And as it turned out, Justice O'Connor did not want to be on camera or participate in that. But it brought up, after they had the agreement of the family to do this, it brought up another issue, of course, and that is whether the story should have been done at all, because the Alzheimer's patient, of course, has no control over whether a story is done. It's in the hands of the spouse and the family, and they got some pushback from a number of people who thought that this, even if Justice O'Connor was agreeable to this, that it was invading the privacy of the patient.
I think it was a great story in that it gives you some insight into this hideous disease.
Yes.
And there are people out there who are suffering from this. And you know what? If Sandra Day O'Connor is dealing with this, it might make it easier for other people to handle it.
Yes. And, well, she has a history of, sharing some personal history herself. She had breast cancer, and she talked about that and shared her story about how she was dealing with it. And a lot of people in the Alzheimer's community thought that it was a terrific story, and it was sensitively done. The camera was on her husband for a little while and showed the other person in the picture, but it didn't linger, and it wasn't
right. It wasn't salacious. Yeah. All right. In our ongoing conversation about newspapers and online editions versus print editions, you found out something interesting about the San Jose Mercury News.
Yes, the San Jose Mercury News is one of the considered one of the better papers in the country. And over the last several years, they have trimmed the staff by approximately half. Went from about 400 people in the newsroom to 200. Now they're talking about taking roughly three-quarters of those 200 and having them work for online, and taking the print product down in terms of sections to three sections that and maybe even just one where they would just have news about business news from Silicon Valley. And that is a tremendous come down from what the San Jose Mercury News was. And maybe, you know, things always seem to start on the coast and work their way in toward the center of the country. Maybe a canary in the coal mine kind of thing for print products here in the Midwest.
But most of the cost of a daily newspaper has got to be the printing.
Oh, absolutely. It's print. The newsprint is very costly. And, of course, the getting it out in the street and circulating it is costly as well. So this is, and of course, in Silicon Valley, the demographic, most people are on computers now and are very digital. Not so much in the Midwest,
right?
But the readers of the San Jose Mercury News are aware of this and have seen the cutbacks. Are increasingly upset. The people who have long like the print product, like to carry it around, like to read it. And there was a guy writing in the one of the Chicago papers, though, said that increasingly it seems that people who like newspapers are beginning to resemble the people who really like passenger trains.
Well, if they did away with the Sears catalog, they can do away with
that's
anything.
That's right, yeah. And soda fountains and the whole thing, it's quite a change.
I will say, though, I've been saying this now for 10 years, I can't imagine newspapers going away entirely. You're not going to bring your laptop into the bathroom.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Keep you warm.
Do we want to talk about this story I saw in the St. Louis Journal about this platform?
Oh, yeah, the St. Louis Magazine?
Yeah, St. Louis Magazine, yeah.
Yeah, there's a feature out on the platform, which we talked about a little bit before. It is what I call a nascent online journal. It's not up yet, in which a number of St. Louis Post-Dispatch expatriates, including myself, have founded. We're raising money for it, and we recently got some good news that I have to be a little vague about, but a substantial contribution will be forthcoming to get us started, and it is no longer a question of whether, but when we will get this going. And it will have news online only, just in a way like the San Jose Mercury News is headed, and you'll be able to find interesting, significant, and meaningful stories about St. Louis on the platform, stlplatform.org, I think will be the handle when we get it up.
How long before it's up and running?
Well, we were hoping by January 1st, but I would say probably maybe shooting for March 1st at this point. It's a little vague at this juncture, but it's going to happen.
Beautiful. All right, good. We'll talk about that more as it gets closer. What's the best story we've never read?
Well, a piece that ran in a set of all places, the Salt Lake City Tribune, by a freelance writer by the name of Loretta Tofani. You know, we had a lot of interest and controversy over all the products, the Chinese products that are coming to St. Louis, to the U.S., particularly toys that were, you know, considered dangerous. But what about the people who were making those toys, the Chinese workers who were exposed to lead paint and other toxic products? Those people are really suffering greatly, and Loretta Tofani, who was a former Pulitzer Prize winner, got into those factories and was able to talk to those workers. And she did a four-part series, and you can find the link on my website, weissright.com, that is very interesting, and it's rather nuanced. The Chinese government it really isn't interested in covering it up. They want to solve these problems, and apparently gave Tofani a lot more access than you would have thought.
Wow.
Interesting piece.
Where was it originally published?
It was a Salt Lake City Tribune, and it was gone through the media news organization, and I think it has appeared in other papers around the country. And Tofani was, part of her trip was financed by the Pulitzer Center for Crisis Reporting, which was funded by Emily Pulitzer.
How about that? It all comes around. All right, yeah. Dick Weiss, your website is weissright.com, weissswrite.com. You're with us every Monday. Have a good, safe trip. Happy holidays, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Okay.
You got
see
it. Dick Weiss, ladies and gentlemen, the Big 550 KTRS. Every Monday, he's our media critic.